The potential of this city is astounding. And to exploit that potential, we need to do three things. We need to get three things right. One, we need certainty and stability of funding for London. Are we agreed? And that is why I'm so grateful to Tony Travers and his commission. He was standing at the back. He seems to have vanished, possibly to give it. I'm so grateful to Tony and his team for all their work in setting out how London could, with no cost to the Treasury, in a revenue-neutral way, achieve the certainty and stability of funding that we need. Number two, and this is the purpose of this document, we need to plan ahead. And this work will now be followed by a London infrastructure plan, together with proposals about how that plan could be funded. Third, perhaps most important, we need to have the self-confidence and the self-belief that we showed in the Olympics to rediscover that Victorian sense of ambition and enterprise and scale. Over the centuries, many cities have laid claim to the title, beginning with Babylon, to Athens, to Rome, Constantinople, Baghdad. People have forgotten that one, but it certainly was 800 AD. And yet, if we continue to plan and we continue to invest, I think we can ensure that it will be as true in our lives and our children's lifetimes as it was when the Victorians built that bridge behind me. That without too much hubris, we can say that as a place to work, to live, to study, to do business, and to recreate the soul, London is the greatest city on earth.
Yeah. John Higginson from Metro.
Go on, very young.
Hi.
I pointed at Peter, but go on.
Sorry. You promised everyone that at the last election that you wouldn't run for a third term.
Am I now breaking that promise?
Has that changed now? And if not, why are you setting out this vision of which 4 years of which you won't be a mayor?
Well, I'm sticking with what I said before the election, just in case anybody panics here. I'm sticking with what I said. I think that 8 years is a long time to get things done. But the reason for this document is because I was so impressed by the way London pulled together during the Olympics. This was a project. There are people in this room who were working on the Olympics for 10 years. And from the very beginning, they knew what the goal was. And London business, London boroughs, the GLA, everybody came together with a shared understanding of what needed to be achieved. And if we can forge a shared understanding today of the imperative of getting Crossrail 2 and the imperative of investing in our transport infrastructure network and solving our aviation problem in whatever way we decide, then that will be an achievement. I fully understand that, as I said earlier on, I'm not going to deliver personally. I'm not going to be there to cut the ribbon on Crossrail 2, or certainly not as mayor, or indeed anything else. Really. But somebody down the track is going to need to do that. And if we're going to get that kind of project going, we need to build agreement now. We need something as big as that, and it goes to your point, sir, about long-termism, something as big as that needs to have buy-in now from the people who matter in London. And a lot of the people who matter in London are here today.
Peter Dominiczak, Daily Telegraph. Can I ask, are you concerned that the rhetoric around tax avoidance is putting off people planning to invest in the City of London? Should the government be doing more to talk up the benefits that the city brings the country?
I haven't seen any evidence, Peter, that it is actually that this kind of language is deterring investment. My own view, and people may have different evidence than I am, my own view is it's very important for the competitiveness of London that we have tax rates that are as low as possible, that is as is compatible with social justice, and that's I think, a reasonable position for the mayor of a great city to take. We do face competition from other tax jurisdictions that are currently offering lower rates than us. We can't, as I've said before, be endlessly immune to that challenge.
James Pickford, Financial Times. Does George Osborne agree with your argument that London needs to have fresh transport investment in infrastructure? And should we therefore expect to see a flat or rising in investment in the forthcoming June spending round?
I think it's a very interesting question, Joe. I think the answer is yes, absolutely. Though, obviously, there is a discussion going on at the moment about the CSR for 2015-16, and I think the point we're trying to get over, and you'll have seen some good stuff that Peter Hendy and others have been saying in the papers about this. The important thing to get over is that you can't cut too drastically into London's transport budgets without jeopardising our ability to deliver the absolutely vital improvements that we need. I think that is a point that the government gets, and we're seeing some very encouraging signs of interest in some of the projects that I've mentioned and that are in this document. Yes. When you invest in London transport, you are doing the possibly, on a purely utilitarian calculus, you're doing the best possible investment that you can make virtually anywhere in the country. And that's a point that I think that the government does understand. It's a point we'll continue to make until we're blue in the face.